We want to send you to law school, not for classes, but for art appreciation. On the third floor of Waterman Hall is a riveting work of art. The Fulbright triptych fascinates on many levels. It's big, measuring 7 feet by 14 feet. It depicts a young family and their home environment and offers an eye-catching mix of detail and images. The New York Times calls the work, and this is a heavy word, a masterpiece. A book published by Milkweed Press in 2011 is devoted to the Fulbright triptych and the effect it's had on writers, actors, and thinkers. Essays in the book about the Fulbright triptych were written by, among others, Jonathan Lethem, Pulitzer Prize winner Jhumpa Lahiri, and John Turturro. The painting was created while the artist, Simon Dinnerstein, was in Germany on a Fulbright scholarship. Tomorrow evening, he'll discuss the landmark work with Lynn Jacobs, a distinguished professor of art history at the University of Arkansas, beginning at 5:30 inside Waterman Hall. That's the University of Arkansas Law School building. Yesterday afternoon, Simon Dinnerstein was in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to talk about his work. Though a Brooklyn native, he has many connections to Arkansas besides the Fulbright. The first book of his art was published by the University of Arkansas Press, and a longtime friend was Miller Williams. Dinnerstein says he's in Arkansas this week, primarily because of a stay in Italy 40 years ago.
I think that I came here because I went to Rome. And I went to Rome on a Rome Prize Fellowship in 1976, stayed in Rome to 1979, and one of the most significant and interesting people I met during my stay there was Miller Williams, who you might know. And I met him in Rome, which seems rather peculiar.
And that started a sort of connection, didn't it?
Yes. Miller was, if not the most impressive person that I met amongst a very heady group of people at the American Academy. And we were very fortunate in that we could stay a second year and a third year because of different fellowships that came through. So at the end of each year, everyone went back. We stayed. Same thing the third year. And after that, I don't think I heard from Miller for about 12 years. And then one day, he called, and he said that he was coming to New York. And I said, this is great. He has a very particular way of speaking, very twangy and country, and sounds to me a little bit like Kris Kristofferson. Doesn't look like him, but sounds like him. If Miller could sing, he would sound like Kris Kristofferson, which is funny if you picture Miller.
Yeah.
I thought he was a poet. I didn't realize what he did. I just thought he was a poet and taught English or poetry. And he told me that after he left Rome and came back to the university, he started the University of Arkansas Press. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, what will you be doing in New York? And he said, I'm signing up people, authors, for books. So I said, really, what type of books do you do? And he said, you know, poetry and literature. Just before I hung up, I said to him, would you consider a picture of mine to enhance one of your books? And he said, he's so honest, he said that he didn't know if art and poetry would work in this way, but he certainly would take a look. He asked me if we could meet at the Algonquin Hotel in New York, which is a very noted literary place.
So that's where the round table was, right?
Where the round table was, very red on the inside. So Renee and I and Miller and Jordan came up there, and my daughter was with us. And I brought with me a half pound of photographs and one actual drawing. And before we had brunch, Miller sat out looking through the photographs one by one, extremely slowly, ask questions about it. And at the end of maybe 20 minutes or 25 minutes, he very slowly looked in my direction and said, in a voice that is hard to duplicate, he said that I think this is a major group of work, and I'd like to do a major book on your work. And, I mean, I just about fell off the chair. I mean, because I thought one or two pictures. He takes out a pen, takes out a piece of paper, and he then quickly writes, essays are to be in by this day, visuals by this day, graphics by this day, and then he gives me a date 2 years in advance, and he says, 2 years from now, this book will be published. So I was really startled and very disoriented. He said to me, can we shake on this? So I said, well, absolutely. He said to me that, do you know in the South, if you shake on something, it's a deal. You still want to shake. So I said, absolutely. We shook hands, and, you know, it was very, very tingly and exciting. And I said to him, Miller, would you mind if I gave you a little smoocher on the side of your cheek? And he said, by all means. Actually, he said, by all means, Simon, by all means. And I did that, and it was a remarkable day. I mean, really, right up there.
I imagine that this propels the rest of your life in some form or fashion.
Oh, absolutely, because, see, I didn't grasp what a book does, but it gives your work cachet. It seeing it in a book, people are very impressed with it. And I was told at the time that a number of pictures would sell because it was in a book. And they were right. And my work really started to sell, and I could send the book to different people. I sent the book to a friend in Italy or Russia or wherever, and it was really simply amazing, and I felt incredibly lucky. It was one of these, like, days where you weren't quite sure if it was real or you in a story, but I think Miller had lots of things in mind. And maybe he knew what he wanted to do, and all the pictures, all the looking at the pictures was extra that he knew to start with. But I certainly didn't know.
One
other point about the book that is really worth noting, I suggested for the cover the image that you see here, which shows an African-American woman sleeping. This is a drawing that is currently in the Smithsonian American Art Museum. I suggested it because I really like the drawing. It's very intriguing and mysterious. But I also thought, wouldn't this be interesting? The University of Arkansas Press, Arkansas. And Miller went for this, and he really supported it and backed it up. And people of a certain age, let's say my age, or within 10 years earlier or later, when you say Little Rock, you're talking about something to do with civil rights.
And I would argue that people in Arkansas, much younger than you, still think that, since it's so close.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this image on the cover of this book, I mean, I don't know if I'm making more out of this than it should be, is a very transgressive kind of cover, a very kind of out there. And I felt so fortunate by Miller's response.
You know, I'm thinking about this conversation, this handshake deal, and the level of trust the two people had to have. He's with a press, and press doesn't make money, and you've got to be sure. This is your art. This is your blood, sweat, and tears, and you're turning it over, granted, to someone you know and know well. But the amount of trust that you had to have with each other that this would go on.
Well, even to reinforce what you're saying, Miller set this ball in motion and handed me over to John Coughlin, who ran the press, production director, somewhat later became a temporary director, but continued as production director. So I was handed over to John Coughlin, who I did not know. He designed this book. We did this totally on the telephone. I never met him. Not one time did I meet him. We did the whole thing on the phone. There are two other books on my work. One of them I forgot to bring. The third one is a book on the triptych, which is here. John Coughlin designed all three. That's how much I enjoyed working with him. He had a very country sense of humor and very much cared about what he wanted to do and would throw himself into a wall and had a code. And the code was it had to be as good as possible. And I just felt that I wasn't going to meet someone with that kind of code. And he did a fabulous job on all three books.
The third book is the triptych.
Yes. The third book is the triptych.
And which is appropriate.
Yes.
The third book would be the triptych.
That's,
yeah.
That's true. I didn't think of yeah. that. The third book is on the triptych, and it consists of 45 essays on the painting by a wide variety of people. And it's published by Milkweed Editions, and the director of Milkweed liked the idea of the writers being eclectic. He didn't want all art historians. So there are people who are authors. The two authors that stand out to me just very quickly now are Jhumpa Lahiri and Anthony Doerr. And each one of the contributors could write whatever they wanted. Some wrote two pages, some wrote four. Jhumpa Lahiri's was 10 pages and Anthony Doerr 10 pages. So at the beginning of this project, I definitely thought there would be just a few essays. And a good friend of mine who's a publisher said his hunch is that once this gets started, you're going to have too many people rather than too little. And so it really blossomed, and a lot of people came in. And then everything was complete. I had to submit this. And then I got the feeling that I'd asked people to write, and it wasn't going to be published because it was so big. And I sent it all to Daniel Slager, the director of Milkweed. And I thought maybe he would take a very large scissors and cut everything in half, because the book was scheduled to be 180 pages. It came in at 360 pages.
Exactly double.
And they did the whole thing.
But you've got another connection with the University of Arkansas right now.
Yes. Because of the book on the triptych, the painting was put on exhibit in New York. It seemed to me to make sense, given the book coming out, that the painting should be on exhibit. The painting was on exhibit at the German consulate in New York, and the response was, to put it mildly, incredible. And amongst the various incredible responses was a remarkable review by the senior critic of the New York Times, a woman named Roberta Smith. So a lot of people came down, and German consulate is right by the United Nations. I live in Brooklyn near Prospect Park, and I probably came down to the German consulate 60 or 70 times in 3 years to meet people or to just hang out. And so because of that response, it seemed to me try to keep the painting on exhibit after. And I had been introduced at a fundraiser for the Fulbright program to a man who was the director of the Fulbright Association. So I thought maybe this man could help. And I asked him if he knew of a university or foundation that connected themselves with Fulbright and Fulbright's ideas who would relate to this painting. He said he'd like to help, and he called around to a few people. The best stroke of luck here was that on his board was a man named Christopher Kelly. And Christopher Kelly is a professor in your law school. And Christopher really liked the whole thing. He liked the Fulbright idea. He's very dedicated to the Fulbright program. He responded to the painting. He liked the diplomatic exchange. He himself goes to Moldova in Russia many times. And so I was told, speak to him. And we spoke on the phone. And then Christopher handed me over to the then assistant dean, Don Judges. Mm-hmm. Now, getting a museum to lend a painting is not so easy. And I think there were 40 pages of questions that the museum had. And the questions were about the electricity, the lighting, the humidity, the windows, security, fire, insurance, on and on. And Don Judges took care of that. And not too many people could do that. And he did an amazing job. So the painting has been here since July 2014, and it will be here until next June 2017. So it will be here for a while, and I hope people come and take a look.
Thank you so much for visiting. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Simon Dinnerstein's work, The Fulbright Triptych, is on extended exhibit on the third floor of Waterman Hall. That's the University of Arkansas School of Law building on the University of Arkansas campus. And tomorrow evening, he'll discuss the work with Lynn Jacobs, a distinguished professor of art history at the University of Arkansas. The conversation begins tomorrow evening at 5:30 in the Al Witte classroom in Waterman Hall, and it will be followed by a question and answer session right in front of the painting. This is Ozarks at Large.